welcome back to Pet World Insider, where we take you inside the world of pets, pet products, pet places, and share amazing pet stories. I love the amazing pet stories part of that. There is nothing better than finding out some great new facts or hearing this just story that makes you go, that's why I love these pets. Online with me, I've got Kate Kelly from AmericaComesAlive.com. Kate has a plethora of great stories about pets. In particular, she's joining us today to talk about dog stories that will surprise you. Kate, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Oh, I tell you, you and I could talk for hours, and sometimes we have really great stories. I want to share, because we've got the Iditarod coming up, let's start with that.
The Iditarod is an interesting story because the press today makes it about a celebration of the Race for Mercy, which, of course, was the 1925 occurrence where in Nome, Alaska, the children were dying of diphtheria. The only antitoxin in the country was in Anchorage, and they could have flown it in, but the only pilot who was capable of flying the antitoxin in during the winter was on another assignment. So they decided the only way to get the antitoxin up to Nome was by relay race using dog sleds, which is what happened. We hear that that's what the Iditarod is a celebration of, and that's a lovely part of the story, but it actually was used to commemorate the fact that it was started in the 1960s, and it was the centennial of the date when Seward had purchased Alaska from Russia. And the concept behind it was to celebrate the fact that the dog sled was such an important avenue into the interior of Alaska, that the miners and the settlers who came up there when gold was discovered in the 1870s could have gotten around to some extent during the summer, but in the winter, Alaska was just totally frozen in. So and of course, planes were not flying reliably or frequently until the 1920s. So the only way into the interior of Alaska was by dog sled. Now, these animals were incredible. They would be working in teams of 20 or more dogs, and those dogs could pull half a ton of supplies with them. And they would go 50 to 70 miles a day. So these animals, and if you watch some of the videos online of the working sled dogs, you see that these are very different kind of animals. I mean, they move so differently, and it's an incredible thing. So the celebration, in my mind, the more exciting celebration is the idea that these animals were crucial for so many years in terms of actually reaching the interior of Alaska. You know, today we now have those, I'm going to forget the name, the speed bike things. You know, people, they use those to get around within Alaska. But at the time, it was just really important to have the dogs. So while the importance of the Race for Mercy should not be discounted, I think it's also important to remember that this is just a very strong part of Alaskan history. Now, when we get to the Race of Mercy, we also have an inaccuracy, and that is that there's been a movie made about Balto, and Balto has a statue in Central Park in New York City. Now, yes. I don't quite understand that, but Balto becomes the honored dog. But there was actually a dog who worked harder than Balto. Balto was the one who actually brought the antitoxin into Nome at the very end. But Togo was the dog who actually covered two shifts. He ran farther than any other dog, and he ran through the much more treacherous territory. So if we were going to tip our hat to a dog on that race, we really ought to remember Togo, and it's very nice to acknowledge Balto because all those dogs worked really hard to get the antitoxin up there. But there ought to be another statue.
Yes, there should be. They all deserve statues. Such incredible story there. And it shows the importance and the impact that these dogs have had on our lives for so long. I also want to talk about the story behind the first seeing eye dog, because I think that's really fascinating.
To me, it tells such a story about disabilities in this country, and it's not such a great story. If you had no sight up to the 1920s, your only hope for getting around was to have a family member lead you, or to, if you are from a wealthy family, you could hire a young boy who might be willing to guide you where you wanted to go. But otherwise, you were pretty much housebound because there were no facilities for dealing with the sightless during that time. But a woman named Dorothy Eustace, an American actually, was over in Switzerland. Her husband's job had taken them over there, and she was raising German shepherds and also had an opportunity to watch what was going on around her with dogs. And it was Germans who were working with veterans from World War I who had been greatly affected by mustard gas and were blinded. And the Germans were teaching the dogs to help the men get around. And Dorothy thought that was a really good idea. So she wrote an article on that topic and had it published in the Saturday Evening Post in 1927. A father in Tennessee, whose son was 26 years old and sightless, read the article to the son, and they were well enough to do that. Morris Frank, the son, was able to write to Dorothy and say, I need a dog like that. I will pay to come to be with you. Please train a dog for me. So Dorothy trained two different dogs to work with him to see which one would work out best. Morris went over there, and the group worked together so that he would know how to handle the dog. And in 1929, he was ready to come back to New York. And Dorothy just said to him as he left, Morris, this dog will do you absolutely no good unless you can go into any type of public place with him. So Morris knew that if this program was going to work, he had to make it work. And he was going to also help fund Dorothy bringing some of the dogs back to the United States for other people who could use them. So a lot was riding on it. He came back on shipboard. There were throngs of press waiting for him. And as he got off the ship, and you know, Manhattan in 1929 was just as frantic in a different way as it is today.
Sure.
And one of the reporters called out to Morris, well, will your dog be able to get you across West Street? And the guy was, Morris was like, I don't know. You know, I don't know. We've never been through anything like that. But he didn't say that aloud. He just felt like Buddy would have to do it. And Buddy safely negotiated his way through the traffic and through the people, safely got him across the street. And Morris and his dog spent the rest of Morris all of his life, and Buddy for as long as he lived, traveling the country and going into places and making the dog acceptable in public places. And Buddy, number one, because all the subsequent dogs that belonged to Morris were named Buddy, spent his last day. Morris knew he was not well and he needed to take Buddy home. And the very last trip he made with Buddy was on a commercial airline. United Airlines had just changed their policy, and they flew Buddy and Morris back home to New Jersey, where they were living by that time, and he successfully had broken through on that. And so the rest of his life, he got more dogs and worked to make it accessible. I interviewed the people who are now running the Seeing Eye School, which is the one that Dorothy and Morris founded, and the man was sightless, and his wife was also sightless. And he said, you know, a lot of barriers have been broken, but I have to tell you, we still face it. And he said if he and his wife are in New York City for a conference, he said, try getting a cab to stop for you when you've got two people and two guide dogs waiting to get into a cab. So it's one of those things like they're pretty accepted, but there are still distances to go.
Sure there are. But amazing story and how it all comes about. And it I think the key there is that willingness to be open to the idea. And then once that idea kind of takes shape, taking that ownership like he did, and I mean, he's changed the world, and
totally.
So have those dogs. So I just
and today when we see a dog on the subway or a dog in a movie theater, it gives you new respect for what someone had to go through in order to get them there.
Absolutely. Such great stories. Kate, I love talking to you. I learned so much, and I don't have much to say because I'm just so enthralled with the stories, even if I've heard them before. So, folks, if you want to read some great stories from Kate, check out her website, americacomesalive.com. Again, americacomesalive.com. And, Kate, we're definitely going to look forward to having you back soon.
I would love it. Thank you so much for having me.
We'll be right back with more Pet World Insider after these messages. Life is Pawfect is the new must-have gift book for dog lovers everywhere. This book features more than 55 themed animal portraits from the Pawtographer. The Pawtographer builds out actual scenes and places dressed dogs in those scenes. The portraits are accompanied by wit and wisdom for pet parents.
Life is Pawfect is sure to put a smile on any pet lover's face. Life is Pawfect by the Pawtographer is available in bookstores on Amazon.com or directly through thepawtographer.com.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it. But he just throws it. Again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Hello, everybody. Robert Semro here with an important question for pet owners. Are you a Pet World Insider? If not, you should be. It's free, and Pet World Insider has a lot of great information for all types of pet owners. We have audio and video segments, as well as a library of great articles from pet experts to help keep you informed about the latest information in the pet world. Visit Pet World Insider online at petworldinsider.com.